Yesterday, Sayaji explained that according to Paticca Samuppada dependent origination, Virena Paccaya Tanha, due to the cause which is feeling, Tanha craving arises. If the person lacks mindfulness, the defilements arise, and the current of defilements continue to flow. It is important to stop and to cut the defilements currents. When there is seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and knowing, Vedana, feelings, arise with these seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, and so on. Based on what one sees, hears, smells, tastes, and touch, and know, there are pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, and neutral feeling. So these are the effect. It is important not to be adding more causes on the effects that are taking place. And one should be mindful of whatever object that arises without missing, without failing. Gaining knowledge, the defilements will be suppressed. Usually, when the yogi is practicing meditation, they encounter the unpleasant sensations. In the samatha practice, in the calm practice, when they gain upajara samadhi, excess concentration, they feel good, having springy feeling, cooling, oozing feeling. So the practice of samatha brings sukha vedana when one gains concentration. It is easy to have sukha vedana, pleasant feeling, when one gains concentration in the samatha practice. But in satipatthana vipassana practice, when one gains khanika samadhi, momentary concentration, pain, aches, tiredness, itchiness arise. So practicing satipatthana meditation, one encounters dukkha vedana, unpleasant feeling. So it is easy to have unpleasant feeling during the practice of satipatthana meditation. So when one comes across unpleasant sensations, pains, aches, itchiness, rather than noting, rather than being mindful of these pains and aches, noting them thoroughly, meticulously, but some of them, they give up, they want to give up with regard to his or her body and life. So if one gives up when one encounters pains and aches, changing posture without mindfulness, then they are withdrawing in an unruly manner. The example is given here when one is fighting a battle, and if one army is weaker than the enemy, then one has to withdraw. In the same way, when yogi is encountering pains and aches, and if the yogi withdraws, changing posture without mindfulness, yogi is withdrawing by losing. Yogi is withdrawing unruly way, and it is giving up. So giving up and withdrawing, yogi makes sudden movements, get up abruptly without mindfulness. So it is the kind of withdrawing with loss or withdrawing in an unruly way. So if the pain is very excruciating, if the pain is excruciating, and if the yogi withdraws, even if the yogi withdraws, he, she must do it mindfully, noting the intention to move and doing the movement slowly and mindfully, noting of the intention as well as the movement thoroughly and meticulously. So if the yogi changes posture mindfully, then it is withdrawing in a better way. But as the yogi continues the practice, when Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, is strengthened, yogi discerns nama and rupa, cause and effect, and the characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self. Noting pain, yogi discerns that the pain passes away. The pain arises, passes away. And when the yogi gains momentum in practice, yogi sees that one pain arises, passes away, another pain arises, passes away. In this way, yogi discerns clearly the arising and passing away of the pain. And when noting pain, yogi sees the pain, discerns the pain itself. At that stage, yogi no longer see it that the pain is in the knee or in the thigh, but the location automatically falls away. So yogi is only aware of the pain without location. So the location where the pain is, whether it is in the hand or the leg or the head, the location falls away. Yogi discerns the pain itself. So when the yogi discerns pain itself without location, yogi even enjoys noting the pain. So as a human being, there has been wrong view that it is a person, being, man and women. But when the yogi notes the pain and see the pain itself without the location, whether it is the feet or in the hand, then yogi even enjoys noting the pain. And they even describe that it is a pleasant pain. It is even pleasant to be noting the pain. So at this stage, yogi becomes courageous, and yogi can even challenge the pain. Let it come, I will note it. Many of the yogi experiences heart congealing pain or hot congealing pain, cold congealing pain, stiff congealing pain, and it causes discomfort. And by being mindful of the pain, one understands that because of the contact with the tangible object that is unpleasant feeling arises. In this way, one understands cause and effect. When the yogi gets to the stage where one can even challenge the pain, however the pain may be, yogi notes the pain with patience and forbearance, unshaken by the pain. So at this stage, there is patience, amazingly, and yogi is able to note the pain in a calm, easy way. Noting pain, yogi discerns that the pain passes away. At times, the pain passes away layer by layer, one by one, as the yogi notes the pain with aim and effort. And noting the pains, at times, the pain increases, and at times the pain decreases, fade away, and gradually disappear. And at times, yogi sees the pain disappearing one by one, layer by layer. When the pain passes away, yogi feels comfort. Yogi experiences comfort, and there will be sukha vedana, pleasant feeling. So because of the object that is pleasant, there is pleasant feeling. And at times, yogi may long for the pain to arise again. If the yogi longs for the pain to arise again, it is tanha, craving. And at times, when the pain disappears, when there is comfort, yogi feels attached to the comfort, and it is also tanha, craving. Noting the pain, one can understand the characteristics of the pain, that it is unpleasant, hard and congealing, stiff and congealing, and when the pain disappears, one feels comfortable. So in every nama rupa, there is the unique individual characteristics, and these unique individual characteristics arise and pass away. The nature arises and pass away. Whatever nama rupa that arises passes away. So there is the common characteristics of impermanence. When things are impermanent, they are also suffering. And these are arising. The nama rupa are arising due to their relevant causes. There is no one creating the nama rupa. Because of the contact with a tangible object that is unpleasant, unpleasant feeling arises. So it is not without a cause. Things are arising due to their relevant cause. Relevant cause giving rise to relevant effect. Noting the object, yogi discerns the unique individual characteristics as well as the common characteristics. And later on, yogi discerns the arising and passing away in a complete flux. Yogi discerns arising, passing away in a fast manner. And at that stage, yogi can note whatever object without missing, without failing. At that stage, the object arises and passes away, and yogi discerns very clearly of the arising and passing away. At this stage of practice, yogi can note the object with ease and comfort, and also the defilement currents are stopped, and by discerning, the currents are cut. So at this stage, in the body as well, the blood in the body become purified. Purified blood are flowing in the body so that the person's complexion become even shining, and there will be illumination. Illumination around the place where the yogi is sitting, or it may be the illumination in the whole room, or even the illumination can pervade even to the outside of the room. As much the yogi knowledge is strong, the purified blood will be pervading in the body, that there will be illumination. And this stage of discerning the arising and passing away in a complete flux is called Uddiyabhaya Jnana, insight into arising and passing away. The knowledge that comes before the Uddiyabhaya Jnana is called Samasana Jnana. But at the stage where the yogi discerns the fast arising and passing away of the objects is Uddiyabhaya Jnana. At the stage of Uddiyabhaya Jnana, knowledge is more outstanding than the other knowledges that are prior. At the stage of Uddiyabhaya Jnana, it is called Vipassana Jnana, where one discerns the fast arising and passing away of the objects in an outstanding way, and one understands that these nama rupa are no good as they arise and pass away. So one discerns the fast arising and passing away of the objects, and one understands that there is no one creating the nama rupa, and the nama rupa are not permanent. Excuse me. And the nama rupa are not permanent. There is no atta, no self involved. There is no atta, no self that is good or pleasant. And vipassana become strong. In the beginning of the practice, yogi had to aim the note mind onto the object. But at the stage of Uddiyabhaya Jnana, the yogi's noting mind is automatically aimed at the object. It is the noting become also automatic. The example is given here when the person throws the arrow, and when the player becomes skillful in throwing the arrow automatically lands on the target without having to aim especially. In the same way, at the stage of Uddiyabhaya Jnana, yogi becomes skillful in the noting, that the noting mind automatically hits the target, the object of meditation, without having to aim especially. Just as the arrow, when the arrow is very sharp, it pierces through It will not fall or it will not become soft or bent. In the same way, at the stage of Uddiyavaya Jnana, sati, mindfulness, becomes amazingly strong. And with sati, mindfulness, the defilement currents are stopped. And as the knowledge arises, the defilement currents are cut. And in this way, the defilements are cut momentarily. And by discerning, avijja, ignorance, has no chance to arise. If there is not knowing, the person craves and clings. And by discerning, craving does not arise. If one does not know correctly, there will be ignorance. And the other defilements, such as dosa, anger, mana, conceit, and doubt, arises. And there will also be laziness. And there is doubt, uncertain what it is, why it is. And there will also be defilements, lack of moral shame, lack of moral fear from defilements. But gaining knowledge, all these defilement currents will be stopped. When sati, mindfulness, is strong, yogi can even note the small, minute objects without missing, without failing, and the defilement currents are stopped. And having sati, mindfulness, the defilement currents are stopped, just like the fire that is breaking out has been extinguished. When the fire, just like the way fire stops, the defilement currents come to a stop when there is mindfulness. As much there is sati, the defilement currents become suppressed and stopped. And when knowledge arises, the currents are cut, and the yogi can note even the small, minute objects. And developing knowledge, gaining knowledge, one is cutting the defilements moment by moment. Gaining knowledge, the current of craving also is cut. Discerning clearly, there will not be wrong view. As the yogi discerns the arising and passing away of the objects, when the yogi sees that new and new objects are arising, yogi will overcome the wrong view that the things come to cease without a cause. In this way, one removes ocheda deiti, the wrong view of annihilation. As the yogi discerns the arising and passing away of the nama rupa, one clearly removes the wrong view of ocheda deiti, the wrong view of annihilation. People who believe in materialism, they believe that the materiality is made up of patavi, apo, tejo, and vayo, the earth element, water element, fire element, and the air element. And they believe that the nutrients are supporting the life. And if there are no nutrients, no food taken, then one dies. And after death, there is no existence after death. So in this way, they believe that there is nothing after death. It is Ocheda Deity, the wrong view of annihilation. Some of them, they believe in the materiality and mentality, and they have the wrong view that even though the body perishes, the nama mentality will continue to be present as the atta. It is the wrong view of sasada deity, the wrong view of eternity. Discerning the arising of the objects, one removes Ocheda Deity, wrong view of annihilation. Discerning the dissolution of the objects, one removes the wrong view of Sasada Deity, the wrong view of eternity. When the yogi becomes skillful in the practice, one discerns clearly in a clear-cut manner, and yogi feels joyous, satisfied, the joy pervading in the whole body. This joy arises together with the Udayabhaya Jnana, insight knowledge. At the stage of Sammasana Jnana, when one overcomes pains and aches, there is also joy, but the joy experienced at the stage of Sammasana Jnana is not as great. But in the stage of Udayabhaya Jnana, the noting becomes easy without having to put effort, especially when the object arises, the noting mind seems automatic and one discerns very clearly. At this stage, the current of defilements are stopping and cut, especially the Ocheda Deity and Sasada Deity, the wrong view of annihilation and wrong view of eternity are removed. There is piti, joy, satisfaction pervading the whole body. And there are five kinds of piti. The first one is Kodaka piti, minor form of joy, where the yogi feels the goose flashes. And Kanika piti, momentary joy. Ogandika piti, where one yogi feels that there is something covering, draping the whole body, and the yogi feels thrills. Yogi feels thrilling feeling. Obega piti, uplifting joy, where the yogi feels that the body is levitating in the air. And prana piti, pervading joy, where the piti pervades the whole body, that the yogi does not even want to finish the sitting, and the yogi does not even want to open the eyes. So joy pervading the whole body, yogi feels joyous, happy, in the practice. With piti, pasadi, the tranquility also arises. together with the Uddiyapaya Jnana, discerning the fast arising and passing away. Whether the yogi is doing sitting meditation, either in the evening or daytime, yogi discerns arising and passing away in a fast manner, and yogi feels tranquil both in the mind and the body. And one does not feel heavy, but one feels very weightless and light, amazingly. And the practice seems very smooth. There is kammanyata, adaptability. And as the yogi becomes skillful in the practice, discerning the fast arising and passing away of the object, yogi feels very fresh, not having illness or weak or exhausted, but the yogi feels fresh. And there is also proficiency in the practice. At this stage, the uprightness also prevails. At this stage, the yogi confesses to himself, to herself, the wrongdoings that he, she had done in the past. And also, yogi confesses to the meditation teacher of his or her weaknesses and shortcomings without any pretending. At this stage, there is honesty and uprightness that prevails. And when the practice is supported by pasati, tranquility, and others, yogi experiences unique kind of Dhamma happiness that excels many times than the worldly sensual happiness. Buddha praised this Dhamma happiness in the Dhammapada as Amanusi Rati. And the verse goes, Sonyakaran Pavetasa Sanda Chaitasa Bhikkhuno Amanusi Rati Hoti Samadhamma Vipassato. The person who approaches a secluded place to practice, and by practicing every arising object without missing, without failing, when he, she gains the Uddiyapaya Jnana, discerning the fast arising and passing away of the objects, being mindful of even the minute objects, there will be sanda citta, the mind will be calm, peaceful, and the currents, defilement currents, will be stopped. And as one gains knowledge, the currents will be cut. The mind will not be agitated by raga, dosa, moha, and the mind will be calm and peaceful. And one attains Amanusi Rati, one attains the Dhamma happiness that surpasses the sensual happiness of the human and deity. At this stage of practice, the defilements are cut and one develops both the mind and the knowledge, and one gains the unique happiness that is unrelinquishable. So the unique happiness that it doesn't need to be added of other only exists in the Dhamma field. It is always unique, new. In the worldly happiness, No happiness will be good and unique. One has to add on one object to another to make happy. But in the Dhamma field, there is the unique happiness that one does not need to add anything to it, but it is very unique and unrelinquishable. And this kind of happiness one can gain by practicing oneself without the companionship of person or being. The Dhamma happiness surpasses the sensual happiness that one enjoys together with the companionship of person or being. And this Dhamma happiness arises in great momentum. At this stage, Yogi notes every new object that arises, and Yogi does not miss or fail to note even the minute objects, and Yogi discerns fast arising and passing away. And the five kinds of piti arises. The first three kind of piti are called dubbala piti, minor joy. And the last two kinds of piti are called balava piti, a strong, intense joy. And for yogis who gain these minor joy and the intense joy, it is said that they are experiencing amata, deathlessness. But as there is arising and passing away, one has not gotten to the stage of deathlessness yet. But if the yogi pursues the practice further, he, she can attain the super mundane knowledge. By attaining at least the first path knowledge, one can totally uproot the defilements that are most inferior. Gaining the piti, joy, it is said that yogi experiences amata, deathlessness. And in Sanskrit, it is called amrita. And also, basati, tranquility, is described that when the yogi practices and attains this stage, gaining amanusirati, the kind of Dhamma happiness that excels the human and deity happiness, one gains the lightness of both the mind and the body, and there will be peace, tranquility, and this tranquility arises together with the lightness, and so on. So it is how the Buddha described. And also, there will be sukha, happiness that arises together with the vipassana jnana. And the example is given here. When the freeway is very smooth, the driver can just relax and drive with ease and comfort. In the same way, when the practice is very smooth, there is tranquility, the happiness, gladness that arises together with the vipassana jnana. When people encounter good things, there will be happiness, but the kind of happiness gained through the practice is not like the ordinary happiness. The whole body becomes cooling and oozing feeling. Like when the weather is hot and when one goes into the air-conditioned room, one feels cooling feeling. In this stage of the practice, Yogi feels cooling, oozing feeling. That is very good. And also, Sada, faith and confidence, called as Adimokkha, resolute faith, arises together with the Udiyabhyajnana, discerning fast arising and passing away. So at this stage, both the mind and the mental factors become very serene and clear, and one comes to have faith and confidence, acceptance, confirmation that this path is right. So at this stage, there is resolute faith and confidence. At this stage, Bhagaha, the courageous effort also arises. The courageous effort, having the courage to refrain from unwholesome things, having the courage to perform wholesome things. Having courageous effort, Yogi will not be slack or sluggish, and the Yogi will not be over eager. There will not be distraction. The noting mind will not fall short of the target, or it will not overshoot the target, but the noting mind will be concurrent, and there will be Supagahita. The noting mind falls directly on the object, and there will be such courageous effort pushing the mind onto the object. In the beginning of the practice, there is Arambhadhatu, initial effort. And as the practice continues, one exerts Nikamadhatu, boosted up effort, stepped up effort in order to overcome difficulties. And the effort becomes stronger and stronger. And Parakamadhatu, one exerts effort stage by stage until one finally reaches the goal. All three stages of Viriya are here called as Bhagaha. Bhagaha means the persistent effort. The example is given here when someone lifts an object from the ground, the object must not fall down, the object must not stagnate in the middle, but it should go up and up. In the same way, Bhagaha is the persistent effort, the courageous effort that does not deteriorate, that does not stagnate in the middle, but that goes up and up, higher and higher. There is Upatthana, the firmly established mindfulness, the mindfulness closely, firmly established on the object that arises together with the Vipassana, Jnana. So at this stage, the mindfulness is praised at Supatthita. On every object, the mindfulness completely, closely, firmly sticks onto the object, and it is called Supatthita. The mindfulness falls on the object just like when one pierces the ground with the sharp end, it will be firmly piercing into the ground. In the same way, whatever object that the yogi is noting, the mindfulness gains momentum in the practice, falling, sticking completely, closely, plunging onto the object. Just as a stone is thrown into the water, the stone sinks in water. In the same way, mindfulness sinks into the object firmly, closely, completely, and mindfulness becomes outstandingly strong. The example is given here. A person who has gained the divine eye, when he/she reflects on the other world, the person can see things clearly. In the same way, at this stage of Uddiyabhyayana, Siddhi, mindfulness, becomes very strong, being mindful of every minute object. And at this stage, yogi can even take high esteem of himself, herself. And there will be upekkha, equanimity, being in balanced state. There are two kinds of upekkha, vipassanupekkha and avajjanupekkha. Here it mentions the vipassanupekkha. And the yogi does not have to aim onto the object especially, but the noting mind will be automatically direct with the object. It will be in place without missing, without slipping, without failing. So the yogi is noting whatever object that arises with ease and comfort. As the yogi is skillful in the practice, so whatever that arises in the mind door, yogi can note it without missing, without failing. The example is given here when the rudder of the ship is controlled, then the ship will not be going this way, that way, but it will be going in the correct direction. In the same way, at this stage of practice, yogi can note the object with ease and comfort, without missing, without slipping, and in a very straight, direct way. And at this stage of Uddiyabhyayana, yogi feels experiences that are very special. And by little or by much, yogi can become attached with these good experiences. So there can be minor kind of attachment on the good experiences. Even though yogi no longer thinks highly of the sensual pleasure, but at this stage of Uddiyabhyayana, when experiencing good experiences, there can be minor attachment. When illumination, peacefulness, and tranquility arises, yogi can be attached with these, and it is called nika-nika, minor attachment. Yogi thinks that I have not experienced such kind of special experiences before, such as piti, joy, and so on. So I have attained magga-jnana, phala-jnana, path and fruition knowledge. So if the yogi thinks that way, that he, she had attained supramundane knowledge, then the yogi is deviated from the right path. Yogi takes the non-path as the right path, and his or her practice is deviated. It is very important to have the guidance of the Kalyanamita, true companion who has both theoretical and practical knowledge. If the yogi misunderstands the good experiences as the supermundane knowledge, then he, she can even rest without practicing any further in his or her life. And it is a great hindrance to the yogi's practice. And Saraji will continue to explain tomorrow. Sadhu, sadhu.